Hi, welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, since the last time we recorded, there's been big King of the Hill news. It's been rumored for years now. When I say years, there have been some recent rumors maybe a year or two ago, but even before that, like, I don't know, 7 years ago or something, people started rumoring it and saying, oh, it's never going to happen or whatever. But it's official now. Hulu has ordered new episodes of King of the Hill. To my knowledge, it's not a reboot. Like, they're not restart. Like, it's going to be essentially a continuation. It's not a reboot. It's a continuation. They're going to pick up where they left off. There is some debate as to what that actually means. So does that mean that they're going to pick off exactly where they left off in the old episode, so we still have a 13-year-old Bobby, a 40-something-year-old Hank? Or one of the producers in an interview about a year or two ago hinted at the idea that if they did bring King of the Hill back, that there would be a time jump and we would have like a older Bobby Hill and older Hank Hill and stuff. So how long has it been off the air? 15 years. So like a 15-year time jump. I don't know which one they're going to go with. And I honestly don't know which one I would prefer.
I know what I prefer. I would prefer not a time jump. I just feel like the dynamic of like Bobby and Hank just might not work as adult. You know, Bobby will be more mature. You know, he might still be into what he's into, like pursuing an entertainment career. But it just feels like it might be different. I'm very conflicted about all of this just because the time gap, like in our real time, how so much has changed culturally and like what we know in our everyday lives, like the internet now and iPhones and driving cars and all that stuff. It's just the world's way different. So a time jump would make sense, but I don't know if I would. I just don't know how the dynamics would work between everyone.
Well, the nice thing about cartoons is that the characters don't age. It's not like when they tried to reboot Full House with Fuller House and all the original actors had aged 20 plus years. So they couldn't pretend like they were kids anymore. They had to actually have them age up and change the story that way. But with, you know, cartoon characters, they could have them be young forever. I mean, just look at The Simpsons. You do see, if you compare, so the original run, if you compare the early episodes to the later episodes, they did try to put in or integrate pop culture stuff. So there was like the episode with MySpace. We see them getting cell phones towards the end of the series. Stuff like that. So I imagine it's going to be more of the same with the King of the Hill, regardless of which way they go, whether they do a time skip or they keep everybody the same age. I think they'll be like, you know, Bobby's always trying to become a celebrity. So I guarantee there's going to be a Bobby trying to be a TikTok or Instagram influencer or something like that. And maybe Peggy tries to be an Instagram influencer. Bill discovers Tinder. That would probably be an episode. I don't know, Dale doing something. I'm trying to think of what would Dale be, because there'd be a lot of things there, but then also I think the political climate's changed a lot, and it would be risky. Like, King of the Hill never was that political of a show. There was only one episode that was like strongly political, and even then it kind of ended ambiguously, the one about the election, 2000 election, where they're going to vote for Bush, and then Hank kind of him and Hawes over voting for Bush after he shakes his hand and realizes he has a weak handshake. And the episode kind of leaves it open to interpretation as to who did Hank vote for? Did he vote for Bush? Did he vote for Gore? Did he vote for a write-in candidate or whatever? So on one hand, I'm like, Dale being the crazy conspiracy theorist, him going all in on like their in-universe version of QAnon would make sense. But at the same time, I feel like that might be too hot a topic for them. You know, discovering Uber, I think, like maybe Boomhauer discovers Uber and everybody likes his car, so he does well, and then Bill tries to compete with him. There's a lot of ideas that they could do. with everything that's changed over the past 15 years. You know, Peggy trying to set up a master class or something, and nobody signs up for her classes.
I don't know. See, the more you talk about it, the more I do not want this reboot. Like, we will cover the last, like, the, I guess I'm doing air quotes. I know it's audio, but the series finale, we will go over that. But it's such a perfect episode. Like, I'm thinking back of all the series finales I've watched in my lifetime. The King of the Hill one is just, like, such a great ending to a series. I'm satisfied with everyone's kind of story. Everything's wrapped up really nicely. You can imagine what's going to happen with, like, everyone's life. And it's just, it's such a perfect ending. Why risk it? Do you think this is our fault, Jason? Like, this podcast has reignited the King of the Hill?
Yep. I think so. This podcast has reignited interest in King of the Hill. I have an idea for a Dale episode. He gets in. It would either be him or Bill as characters if we were doing it based on, like, reality, but they get into crypto or NFTs. I could totally see Dale doing that.
I imagine Dale has a podcast.
True. He does have that one episode where he does the pirate radio, so it's very possible that he'll have some kind of conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah, I could see, like, him becoming a, I don't know, someone like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a podcaster he'd be like. Maybe he's like Sarah Koenig, and he's like, gosh, what was the podcast called? I can't remember.
Serial.
Yeah.
Though, you know, that would be a great episode, now that you mention it, in podcasts, like Dale doing that, but also, like, you know how true crime podcasts are really popular? Like, Peggy tries to start a true crime podcast, but, like, none of the crimes in Arlen are all that interesting, so she's having a hard time, like, getting traction with it.
Yeah, I could. So when you're talking about, like, a TikTok star, I imagine, like, Bobby trying to be a TikTok star, TikTok star, but it's Bill who becomes, like, really viral. Like, they accidentally, like, shoot a video and Bill's in the background doing something, and that's what blows up.
Oh yeah, I could see that. One thing I've been trying to think about is, like, what would Connie's stories be, or what would Con and Min's stories be? That's the one that I'm having a hard time. Like, if they wanted to update it based on the pop culture and the trends of today.
Gosh. Would Connie... Okay, so is this a time jump or is this not a time jump?
Let's say both, either or.
Time jump? I don't think Connie's there anymore. Like, don't you think Connie's gone off to, like, college? Or how far are we jumping? High school?
So, it depends. If they want to do a real time jump, then it's 15 years past. So, like, we would have them in their late 20s.
Yeah.
If they do a time jump, but they just choose an arbitrary number, like, oh, 5 years have passed since the season finale or whatever, or the series finale, then there's that. But what I think one of the things, and granted, it was just like in a casual conversation or during an interview, but one of the creators was just kind of, not Mike Judge, but one of the other producers, was just kind of hemming and hawing, and this was like 2 years ago, and he said, yeah, if we brought it back, we might do a time jump in real time and have the, you know, have Hank and Peggy being older retirees. And so, you know, who knows? But let's say for the sake of argument, it's a 10-year time jump.
Okay, so they're out of high school, out of college.
College, yeah.
So I don't think Connie would be in Arlen anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know. What do you think?
That's, like, a fair point.
She seems like she's got big dreams. Not that, like, she becomes a violinist or whatnot, but I feel like, you know, there's a career bigger than Arlen for her.
True. Like, even if she did stay in Texas, she'd be in, like, Dallas or Houston, not in Arlen. But and that's if she stays in Texas. She'd probably be in New York City or D.C. or something like that, or Los Angeles.
Actually, you know what? Now that we've been talking about this, I wouldn't mind the series continuing if they were like, it's only one season. Like, we do a time jump, it's one season, like 10 episodes. And this is kind of just like, Hank and Peggy still live in Arlen. Bobby and Connie may be married now, and they're off in another city. They come visit. You know, it's just checking up with everyone. 10 episodes, like a checkup on everyone. Some funny storylines, but... Like, Bobby and Connie have to come back for a certain reason. Or, like, he lost his birth certificate, so he needs to come back and get, like, a copy of it or something crazy like that. And then, you know, short catch-up. We don't really have to play a lot, like, mess around with anything going on. But, you know, we still get to see. I just don't know if it can sustain multiple seasons, right?
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, there is a strong fan base. You know, I think an adult cartoon like this, we kind of need again. You know, and I'm going to say we kind of need, but we haven't, like, yes, we have the Rick and Morty's and all that stuff, but, you know, I think a grounded one like King of the Hill, we kind of need that again.
I guess my only worry is that about how it ended, like, how great this show ended, and just, like, it's going to be really hard to top what we have, but it's really easy to like ruin it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
that's a fair point.
I guess going back to your question, I got so off topic. Yeah, I don't time jump. I don't think Connie's still in town. I would hope that her and Bobby are together. Like they finally like they're so good together. Bobby brings out this playful side in Connie and just kind of helps her relax and be like more of a. Act her age, you know, less up. Not that she's uptight, but helps her like loosen up. And Connie is very like encouraging of Bobby and gives him that support that, I mean, not to diss Hank or Peggy, but she definitely encourages him to chase after his dreams, no matter what they are. And she's always like, when you do your dream, I'll be right there beside you doing mine. We can work together. So I really hope that they make it work and they are together in some aspect.
Yeah, I've still gone back and forth about it because on one hand, I do want them to wind up together if there is a time jump. On the other hand, I feel like that's too cliche and it would be interesting to see like if Bobby met another girl or something. At the same time, I could see how that would ruin it. Like, oh, now they're going to introduce a brand new character that has no real backstory and we're going to spend a lot of time filling in the gaps there or something. So I go back and forth on whether or not I want them to wind up together.
But how great would it be that, like, if they did get married, how great would that be? Like, Hank and Con are in-laws now. Like, I think that's another fun dynamic.
Yeah, it would be fun to explore that dynamic. Oh, so I just thought of what we could do for a Con episode, and then we can get into, like, actually doing the episodes that we're supposed to be reviewing. And maybe it's racist or offensive to say it, but wouldn't it be funny if, like, in the time jump, Bobby and Connie have a baby, and then Min and Con become famous doing, like, their version of Baby Shark? Because, you know, it's like, what is it? That whole company is like a Korean family or whatever, so...
Oh, interesting. Okay. I mean,
Yeah, that whole Pink Fong company, I think it's a Korean family.
Baby Shark is a whole thing that I'm, like, dumbfounded by, and just, like, it's such a simple thing, and they are probably super rich now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that would be interesting to see Khan and Min do something. Like, they purposely try to recreate something like that, because they know, like, that blew up. Like, they're like, oh, we have an idea.
Yeah, because there's that one episode, we're not going to be reviewing it, I don't think, but there's the one episode where they make fun, I can't remember the name of the guy, but there was a real world guy on infomercials, he was a Vietnamese guy who was selling like these books on how you can become a real estate millionaire and stuff, so they parodied him on King of the Hill, and then Khan kind of got caught up in that, and then Khan tries to create his own because he's like, hey, I'm Asian, I can make one too. So I kind of could see them doing the same thing with the baby shark thing, like, we're Asian, we could make a popular children's song that makes millions.
I could see that. I could see something like that. Oh, if there is a time jump and Bobby and Connie have left, what if they come back to Ireland for their wedding?
Ooh, that would be interesting.
And then you would have all the planning stuff and like Con and Hank clashing over that stuff. That could be funny. Before we get the episode though, I think the biggest question I have is, Luann, what are we doing?
Well, both Luann and Lucky, the actors, Brittany Murphy and Tom Petty respectively, both are dead. So I have no idea if they're just going to write them off by saying like, oh, you know, they got a good life and moved off to, you know, Phoenix or whatever, or if they will have them die in a car accident. Oh. And then now they have to, the Hills have to raise baby Gracie or what, but obviously they're going to have to do something. I doubt they're going to actually recast them just out of respect to the characters. But they might, but I'm leaning towards the fact that they are not going to do that and just have to write them out of the show respectfully.
Yeah. I really hope they don't recast them. Like I don't know if we have any Simpson fans or people who watch The Simpsons, but when Mrs. Krabappel, the voice actress for her, passed away, you know, they just like wrote the character off, or, you know, the character mm-hmm. left the series. I think they've done that a couple times when a voice actor has passed away. Like, that character just gone. They don't replace it. Which I really enjoy, because then it's... I know a lot of shows replace their voice actors a lot, and, you know, that's common. But I really like the fact that, like, they have ownership of that character. And, like, they really make it who it is. So I would not like to see Lucky and Luann replace. But I guess we'll find out soon. When is it coming out? Like, 2024?
I think sometime next year is when they'll be hitting Hulu. So first, I know the Futurama reboot or continuation, whatever you want to call it, is coming out next summer. So summer 2024, I think after the fact, like maybe winter 2024 or late fall or whatever is when King of the Hill will come back. But I don't think an actual solid date's been set yet. On that note, let's talk about some of the classics that we have to talk about. This episode, our episode 48, is A Firefighting We Will Go, which is season 3, episode 10. Early episode, early season. I enjoy it. One of my favorite scenes is in here, but there are quite a few that are good. Let's jump right into it. So the episode kind of starts towards the end, and it's kind of like retelling the story of how we got here kind of thing. All the guys are being investigated for possible arson. And the fire chief is, you know, he's like, oh, this is the worst offense I've seen in 14 years. And so you're kind of leaning in like, oh, man, what must be going on? And, you know, Bill, almost as if he's a POW, gives like his rank and title and stuff. And then Hank tells him to shut up, and Dale gets mad, and then they're like, okay, quiet, okay, let's start from the beginning. Heck Dorlin says that he ran across you guys doing some light yard work, and so we flash back to the alley where their quote-unquote light yard work is them just drinking at the fence like always. And Hank's like, oh, Bill said he's going to be busy, or Bill said he's going to be running late. He must be busy bagging hair of some new recruits or something. And all of a sudden we see a fire truck come by, and Hank's like, oh, there's Heck Dorlin on the fire truck again, lucky bastard. And as he pulls up to Hank, they see that Bill's in the passenger seat, and Bill comes out, and they're all shocked. And Bill, as he runs, he like trips over the cooler. He's like, oh, guys, I'm a firefighter. And then he trips and falls flat on his face. And Heck Dorlin comes up, and he's like, yeah, we are having to rely on volunteer firefighters now because, you know, the professionals have the red flu, and, you know, they are striking and everything. And Hank's like, what? well, let me tell you, fires don't take a strike. And Bill's like, yeah, I'm a volunteer. The heck came down to the base to find some volunteers, and I was the only one the base commander let go, which is funny because Bill thinks it's like a privilege, but it's kind of implying that it's like he was the only one let go because he was the only one that was expendable. The other guys are interested in being volunteers. You know, Dale is like, oh, you know, fact. Firefighters get to have sirens on their personal car. Fact, they can wear write it whatever they want. And then Hank's like, Dale, you can't just play with a siren. Those are for emergencies only. Now, if I complete the proper courses and notify my insurance, can I drive the fire truck? And Hex Dorland's like, oh, do you have any speeding tickets? And Hank says, no, sir. And Dale says, I do. You know, it's kind of funny because I guess this seems perfect for Hank, because Hank just is like such a civically minded person. I could see him being like, oh, yes, I absolutely want to help out my city and my country. And of course, being able to do like all of the manly stuff that's associated with being a firefighter. The other guys, I don't know. I just feel like they're maybe playing along, or they're living out that like childhood boy dream we all. Well, I don't know if we all had it, but a lot of us had it of being a firefighter.
I mean, I think I've thought about being some kind of law enforcement. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a paramedic.
Yeah, I could see that. That would be good, saving lives.
Yeah, and I do love that Bill is the one who kind of is like bringing the guys in. It does seem fitting that Bill's like ready to jump on this opportunity, and then kind of course he wants to bring Hank in. That's like his partner in crime.
Exactly. And of course Boomhauer and Dale join in, and well, I mean, as you can imagine, these different personalities are going to clash through this episode, which is part of the fun of it. At dinner, Bobby makes a comment of, I see spoons. Can I assume that the potatoes are mashed? And Hank comes in and he's like, hey, Bobby, your dad is a real fireman. And Bobby's like, huh, I'm surprised. I thought you were really into that propane thing. And Luann comes up and is like, I have nights and weekends free. I should be a volunteer firefighter. And Peggy's like, you should. Hank deputize her. And Hank's like, what? No, she's not fit to be a firefighter. What if she has to pull out a really heavy man? And Peggy's like, well, then she can use a fireperson's carry, formerly known as a fireman's carry. It uses a form of physics I like to call leverage. And it allows, you know, not so heavy people to carry heavy people. So Peggy demonstrates by lifting Bobby, and she lifts Bobby over her head, but winds up pulling a groin muscle, but she kind of tries to fake that she's all right because she's embarrassed. It's training day at the fire station, and they're going to get used to using the hose and stuff, and they put on one of those barrels and light it on fire, and like, okay, put out the fire, and Dale's on the nozzle and everybody else is holding the body of the hose, and they turn on the water, but Dale's not actually holding the nozzle. Like there's a good, he's like holding a foot, like a good foot down is where he's holding it. So naturally like the nozzle part's just kind of going all over, and everybody's getting upset. And at some point, Dale just gets frustrated and drops the hose altogether, runs away. So now the nozzle goes all over even more, and the trainers are now kind of getting annoyed because these guys are goofing off. They bring out a fire extinguisher and put out the fire, and then they're like, okay. And then Dale's like, hey, I couldn't see the flame. My mask was all fogged up, and they removed the mask, and he's smoking, so the smoke was fogging it up. Naturally, Hank's like, dang it, Dale, the safety of Ireland is riding on us. And now they want to show them how to use the jaws of life, and they're like, yeah, the jaws of life are great. You can peel a car like an orange. And then Dale goes into his pocket, and he's like, oh, what can it do to a real orange?
I love the scene with them with the fire hose, Because when you watch it, they are so close to, like, it's a little barrel, I guess, a metal barrel with fire in it. And they're very close to it. Like, all you have to do is, like, lean over, and then the water would probably go in it. But do you think Dale was like, I want to be up front, or they strategically put him there? Because it seems like Hank would have wanted that spot.
It sounded like, if I recall correctly, Heck Dorland said, Gribble, you're on the hose or whatever. So it sounds like they put him there. But one of the common themes is that Dale, and it's a common theme throughout the whole show, not just up this episode. But one of the common themes is that Dale is just completely incompetent when it comes to this stuff. We're going to see it over and over and over again in this episode, and it's going to be pretty funny. And, of course, Hank being Hank, he's trying to take it all seriously because, well, that's what he wants. Hank takes everything seriously. You know, any job done is job work done, doing right. And, you know, we all know about his work ethic and stuff. So no surprise. But Dale obviously is just goofing off. And I don't know. I wish I understood what his mindset was. Or even if he has a mindset, maybe he just doesn't have a mindset where trying to make sense out of a crazy guy. But, you know, like, does he just think like, oh, this is fun and games and nothing really matters, or what's the deal? But yeah, Dale's going to be an interesting foil to Hank this whole time.
What if Dale is trying his best? I hope not. I hope it is fun and games, because any other reason would be just really sad.
Yeah, that he's just, he really is that incompetent.
Yeah.
So later they're in the firehouse, and Heck Dorland's there as well, the guys, and Hank's like, I'm going to go and sharpen all the axes. And then Dale's like, oh, Hank's a lumberjack and he's all right. And Hank's like, shut up, Dale. And Heck's like, relax, we're off duty. Hank, let me introduce you to Chad Alderson. He's one of Arlen's first volunteer firefighters. And Hank's like, well, it's an honor. Hank Hill, Strickland Propane. And Chet makes a comment about him blowing up the Megalomart, which we're going to go into more detail in a few weeks, so I'm not going to really dive into it here. Heck is like, hey, my all mill beer sign is off. Why don't you plug it in? And they plug it. Well, at first they don't want to plug it in because Heck's like, we told you you can't plug that in. It doesn't work right. It throws off sparks and everything. And Dale doesn't care. He's like, I'll plug it in. He plugs it in and he gets a pretty bad shock from it. At the house, Hank is in bed, and then his fire beeper goes off, and he jumps up, he puts on his stuff, and runs out the house, and we realize that it's like daytime, and really he's just kind of doing a drill to see what his response time is for an emergency, and he gets up to Bobby, and he's like, Bobby, how'd I do? Bobby has a stopwatch, and he says, and now! So Bobby wasn't even recording the whole thing.
Oh man, that's classic Bobby, though.
Yeah, I kind of wonder what his thoughts were, like, What did he think Hank wanted him to time at that point?
I'm thinking he didn't understand what was going on, and he thought that Hank was going to say start or something like that.
And then
Bobby hits it.
That's a good point. Maybe he just thought like, oh, you know, once Dad gets here, that's when I start the timer.
Yeah, Bobby should have been the signal, though. Like, you know, Hank's in bed. Bobby should have been like, now, you know? And that would have signaled Hank to get up. Then he would have, I don't know. This is complicated. It's funnier this way, though, everyone, that Bobby doesn't understand what's going on.
That does make things interesting when Bobby's just a weirdo. I mean, that's half of the show. It's Bobby and Hank having these massive misunderstandings. Peggy pulls up and she's gone grocery shopping and she has like a bunch of bags and she's limping and Hank notices and Peggy's like, oh no, I'm just limping because I'm carrying a lot of stuff. And Bobby's like, maybe it's because you pulled your groin when you were trying to lift me. And Peggy's like, oh, that can't be it because ladies don't have groins. We cut over to a fire truck. The guys are in there and Hank's running drills on everybody. You know, it's like, hey, let's talk about oxygen tanks. You know, if the PSI is this, what do you do? And nobody else is interested. Dale's like, I'm protesting the ping pong tournament last night. That it's, you know, we can't count it if it bounces off of Bill's forehead. And Bill's like, but we agreed that my head was in play. They pass by all the kids playing football, and on the on the siren or the loudspeaker, they say, and the Cowboys draft Bobby Hill. So the guys get out, and Bobby's like, I told you my dad was a firefighter. And Dooley's like, he's a volunteer. The boys are all muddy from playing, and so Joseph comes up, is like, hey, Dad, can you hose us off? And then Hank's like, no, the hose is for emergencies only. And then, of course, Clark Peters and Dooley antagonize Hank by saying they can't do it because they don't know how. It's like, yeah, because they're not real firefighters. So Hank's like, son, you're about to get soaking wet. They set up everything and connect the hose and whatnot. Dale attempts to open the, like, the putting the wrench on and open the water. And he winds up, like, stripping the bolt, and water just comes spraying out, like, not even through the hose, just out of the end. And they're trying to figure out how to fix it, but then Hank's like, dang it, Dale, he stripped the bolt, so he can't turn it off. And for whatever reason, Boomhauer just shows up with the jaws of life. Again, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I don't know what he thought was going to happen. I'm not a firefighter or really really adept at tools at all, but I know that using the jaws of life, you're going to cut through it, and that's going to make it worse, and that's exactly what happens.
Okay, I have just, like, one question. Is Arlen that desperate for, like volunteer firefighters? There was training, but it was very short. Like, I feel like how bad the training went, they should have been like, we're going to start over. Like, we'd start back at the training instead of letting the guys just go off on the fire truck.
I don't know. Grant, we don't know how much time has passed, but I also think they're desperate because it's implied that all of the actual firefighters are on strike. And so now it's left because, yeah, in the beginning of the episode, Hector Orland says, yeah, all the professionals are on strike, leaving it up to the volunteers. So they're probably desperate for volunteers. And then they probably don't have that many fires in Ireland. Like, they probably have some, but not that many to where, I don't know, they need, like, super, super well-trained people. Then again, maybe they are that inept. I don't know.
I mean, even if we're not having that many fires, I feel like we're causing more damage letting them out into the city.
True. It is funny because back in the investigation, the fire chief's like, so it was you who destroyed the fire hydrant. We got a call that it was a bunch of kids, and then Dale ratted them out. It's like, I gave you names. Hill, comma Bobby, Gribble, comma Joseph. And Hank's like, yeah, shut up. The hydrants is the least of our problems. And the chief's like, that's right. You're looking at possible jail time. And then Dale's like, my name is Rusty Shackelford, and I will not talk without my lawyer presence. And then Dale stands up. It's like, I'm Rusty Shackelford, Mr. Shackelford's a lawyer, my client pleads insanity. And then Bill's like, I would also like to plead insanity.
Yeah. I mean, good plan if it works, right? And I love a Rusty Shackelford, like, throwback.
It's funny because after the break, Dale's making a phone call. And like, Gribble, we already had your phone call. He's like, yeah, that was my phone call. Now I need to make one for Rusty. He's like, no, we're going to get back to the story. So what happens after the fire hydrant? At the firehouse, Hank is trying to keep order, and he's like, hey, let's do some ladder carry drills. And Dale's upset because I guess Hank ultimately embarrassed Dale in front of Joseph with all the boys and stuff. And Chet wakes up, and he's like, hey, why don't you plug in my sign? And Hank's like, oh, that's not a good idea. It won't work well. And then they do the, I want to say it's the Three Stooges, the whole B.I., Bay, Bicky Bye, you know, thing. Dale's doing that because he is just, I don't know, that's probably all he can ever do. Very, he's just a very childish person, let's be honest. you know, he plugs it in, Hank unplugs it. Bill's like, hey, there's a bunch of snacks here. Look at this jerky. And he brings out like this big tin of jerky and takes off the lid. And he's like, hey, we could use this lid as a Frisbee. And he throws it, but he like doesn't throw it well at all and just chucks it at Boomhauer's ear. And Boomhauer gets up and he's angry and he throws the Frisbee at Bill and misses and winds up breaking the window. And all of a sudden, Heck Dorland comes up and he's like, what's going on? And Hank's like, oh, I've got it under control. You know, Boomhauer put ice on that ear. Bill fixed the window, Dale. And Dale's like, no, I will not take orders. I will not take orders. And then Heck's like, you four better get along or I'll find four people who can. Dale is definitely the worst one here.
I mean, they're all bad. Well, except for Hank, but all these, it always happens when the four of them have to work together on like some kind of project. That's not, it's tough because they work really well together when they're building something or they're doing something in the yard or some kind of home improvement thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's outside of that, they cannot agree or they can't work together on anything.
Yep. Well, I'd say like Boomhauer's lazy and not doing anything. He's like just kind of sitting and working on his tan the whole time. Bill's an ept, but Dale is like actively trying to be a problem.
Dale, in this episode, but mostly, is always that person. You know when like everyone agrees on somewhere to eat and there's that one person like, well, I don't like that place.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone agrees on a time and like, well, I can't make that time. For no apparent reason, that's Dale. Like, he just wants to throw a wrench in the problem.
Yeah. He just wants to be contrarian for the sake of being contrarian.
Yeah.
He does. I kind of agree with that. At the Megalomart in the parking lot, you see all the firefighters are, you know, doing their protests. And apparently they're protesting for healthcare, which, I mean, there's kind of a question there. Like, you'd think that that would be a given for firefighters, but okay. The whole family is in the Megalomart shopping, you know, Bobby, Hank, Peggy, Luann. Peggy and Luann kind of lag behind Bobby and Hank, and Peggy's like, oh, I need to ice my groin. Thank goodness Hank is sleeping at the fire station tonight. And Luann's like, why don't you just admit that you pulled your groin while trying to lift up Bobby? And Peggy's like, oh, Luann, you've never been married. That night at the firehouse starts, and Hank arrives. He's like the fourth person to arrive, and the area is a mess, and Bill and Dale had turned the hose into a volleyball somehow. So it's funny because you look at it at first and you're like, oh, that's a volleyball, and they're playing volleyball inside. And Hank's like, what are you doing? And he runs up and he's like, you can't do that to the hose. It'll ruin the elasticity. And He unravels the volleyball, and it's the hose that's been bundled up somehow. Hank has brought Frito Pie over, and the guy starts to play ping pong because their game was ended for the volleyball, and they're playing into the night, and Hank is trying to sleep, and he's like, okay, call the game, guys, and They're still going, and he's trying to get them to stop. So eventually he just walks downstairs, grabs the ping pong ball, and steps on it. And in retaliation, Bill grabs Hank's glasses and puts them on the ground and steps on them. And then Hank's like, dang it, that was my only pair of glasses. And Dale's like, dang it, that was our only ping pong ball. And everybody starts to fight, and a Frito Pie is grabbed and thrown, but it winds up hitting Bill in the face and burning his face. And Hank chases Bill all the way upstairs. And Bill tries to slide down the fireman's pole, but gets caught. And so he's just like stuck in the hole because he tries to go in weird. And so Hank's like, okay, good. Like, now we can get some sleep because the ball's broken, Bill's stuck, all that stuff. And all of a sudden Hank hears the ball pinging. He's like, dang it, you all are playing with the broken ball. And he goes downstairs, and Heck Dorland shows up to announce that Chet Elderson had died, and everybody's all sad and stuff. But then the somber moment is broken by Bill's fart. So yeah, the guys are all, I really feel for Hank, and I maybe it's just a friendship of necessity. Like, Hank just doesn't, there's not a lot of other friends around him, and they all grew up together and all that stuff, but I just don't get how Hank can stand being around them, to be honest.
I mean, like I said, it's just, when they have to work together on these kind of things, it's something, but like, when it's on anything else, they work so perfectly together. There's that episode where they have to, like, that lady dies, and her son is getting her house fixed, mm-hmm. and the guys work together to fix the house. Like, they do that such in sync and perfectly. It's just some of these moments when they're together. I mean, genuinely, I feel like they all love each other and really get along. It's just, I don't know. It's really tough. I guess, I don't know. I do believe it's just Dale. Dale encourages the others, I feel like.
That's true, because Bill is a follower and doesn't really think things through. Boomhauer kind of keeps to himself most of the time, but he's also not really a good planner. Dale's like the big problem, it seems like, most of the time. But yeah, at the funeral, the guys are all the pallbearers, all four of them. Hank can't see because he had to tape his glasses back together, but they're like not perfect, so they're kind of falling off his face, and Dale isn't even putting his hand on the casket because he thinks it's bad luck. So obviously at that means Hank has to do extra duty holding it. And he drops his glasses. So he tries to bend down to pick it up. And, you know, he winds up tilting the casket forward. So everybody falls into the grave. And then Dale, like, grabs onto Elderson's pants because the casket bursts open to try to hold himself, but he winds up falling in anyway and pulling down Chet Elderson's pants, and they're all in the grave. And let's just say that it's not a pretty picture. We're at the firehouse, and Hank's angry, and he's like, "You don't even speak to me," saying that to Dale. And then Bill's like, "Yeah, I don't want you to talk to me either." And they're like, "Oh, who wants to talk to you? All you do is eat pizza and you're bald, and that's why your wife left you." And then Boomhauer's like, "Amen," which is funny. Hank's like, "Go to bed." And Dale's like, "It's only 4 p.m. And what did I tell you about talking to me?" And Bill's like, guys, this is no way to honor Chet Elderson. And Dale's like, "You're right. Let's plug in his sign." All of a sudden, they get a call, and it's the code. There's a fire at Goober Smooch's. So they go there, and they're all ready to go, but it's like a small dumpster fire. Like, as soon as they get there, Heck Dorland's there, and he just kind of sprays it out with a fire extinguisher. Heck Dorland's like, "Yeah, I just got back from, like, the awards place, and they engraved a plaque for Chet Elderson. We're going to name the firehouse after him because he didn't get a proper funeral." All of a sudden, everybody hears, like, calling all stations or calling all firefighters alert. And the fire is actually at the firehouse. So they get there. It's already on fire. Firefighters are working on it and putting it out. And as soon as they get there, you see, like, the investigator. And he's like, "You all are in my office now." And then now we kind of get back to present time where they're all being investigated. Hank's like, "I've been keeping a journal of all the violations of all these people, and I'm happy to turn it in." And Dale's like, "I read that journal. It's nothing but lies." And they're just constantly fighting, and the guy is not happy. And he's like, "Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. Tell me what happened after the alarm went off." So before they, like, when the alarm went off, but before they actually made it to Goober Smooch's. And everybody kind of tells their own story. It's kind of funny because I guess it kind of gives you an insight into how things work in their head or how they view the world or view themselves. So in Dale's version of the story, he's like really built. He's like, not like, you know, Dwayne Johnson built, but he's cut. He's not the skinny guy like we always see him. And he's like, "I was doing rigorous tests as usual. Bill was eating a pizza. Hank was given instructions for a change, and Boomhauer thought being a volunteer firefighter meant he could work on his tan. He then applied some suntan lotion, not realizing that I replaced it with Icy Hot. And that's when the alarm went off, and Boomhauer knocked over his tanning lamp. And I race to the fire truck, and then it shows, like, in the flashback that he threw, like, his lit cigarette on the ground, but then he's like, and that's what happened. Boomhauer's not happy, and he's like, nah, this is what happens. And Boomhauer's telling the story, and it's kind of funny because it's a reverse where in Boomhauer's mind, everybody sounds like Boomhauer except for him. He talks normally, so they're all saying things, and like Hank's like, dang, I'll tell you, boy's not right. Dang, sell propane. And then Boomhauer's like, for gosh sake, Hank, act like an adult. I'm trying to read through an article on vintage Camaros, and I keep going over the same article. Please be quiet. And then Bill's like, oh, Bill, I love pizza. Pizza loves me. And he's like, Bill leaves the oven on. And Bill's like, no, I turned off my pizza oven. And then we see Bill's story. And in Bill's story, the only thing that really changes is himself. He views himself as much fatter and much balder than he actually is. And he's like, oh, I love pizza. I eat pizza all the time. And after I was done eating the pizza, I turned off the oven and I had a dessert. And in the flashback, we see that he turns on the stove and he cooks like marshmallows right on the stove. And then the alarm goes off and then he realizes, oh, snap, I left the stove on. But then he's like, but I turned off the stove. He's like, as I ran to the fire truck, I saw that Dale was in the back switching tanks. And Hank's like, why were you switching tanks? And he's like, oh, I saw that you were low. And let's face it, you're the only real firefighter out of all of us. And you needed to be in good, you know, good health. Or you needed to have enough oxygen to take to carry our you know, passed out bodies from the fire. Then Hank tells his version of the story where they're all pretty much children. They're like 10 years old because he's like, yeah, we finally got to live our childhood dream, but we all acted like children. Instead of fighting fires, we were fighting each other. Then the alarm went off and I went into action. Hank turned off the lamp. He turned off the stove and he doused the cigarette. So none of those three things could have possibly done the fire. And Hank's like, yeah. And I went on to the fire truck and I looked through the window and wait, I remember seeing a yellow light. I know what caused the fire. It was that Owl Beer sign. And Hank's like, I know exactly who plugged it in. And you can see that Dale's getting really nervous because it was him. And Hank's like, the one who plugged it in was Chet Elderson. Then Dale's like, I didn't. Chet Elderson. Yes. Yes. He plugged it in. And Bill agrees, but Boomhauer's like, no, but you know, nobody can understand Boomhauer. Boomhauer's like, no, but Chet Elderson didn't do it. Let's don't besmirch his name. It was all Gribble. And the chief investigator's like, so all four of you say that it was Chet Elderson. And they're like, yeah, it's like, yeah, we always told him not to plug in that song. It didn't work right. I don't know. I don't want to put his good name through the dirt. And Hank's like, well, I mean, we could just call it an electrical fire. I mean, accidents happen. And he's like, the fire investigator's like, good idea. All right, you all can go. And Bill's like, hey, I hear Mrs. Throckmorton needs four plumbers. And Hank's like, no. And it's like, but it's all the beer you can drink. And he's like, well, I can use a beer. All right, let's do it. And the episode ends.
I really feel like, remember we were talking like, why does Hank like these guys so much or why they're all together? You really feel it at the end of this episode, like where Dale switches the tanks. I mean, he should have just filled the tanks up, but where he switches them knowing that Hank is the most, like, Hank will always be there for them. You know, I mean, it's a weird thing, but knowing that Dale gave up his oxygen so Hank would have a full tank means a lot to Hank. And then that's when he kind of tells his side of the story. And, you know, then they blame a dead guy. So that is that.
I do like how they do that, but I guess it's like, hey, it's believable that he would have left the sign on because that was kind of his thing, and the sign caused the fire, and hey, we'll just call it an electrical fire. Okay, cool. As I guess it was like, yeah, it's not worth throwing Dale in jail over. So that's probably why Hank threw it to Chet Elderson, which is kind of interesting because that just doesn't seem in character for Hank. And I like how Boomhauer does rat them out, but nobody understands him. Or at least the fire investigator doesn't, so he just thinks that Boomhauer's in agreement with the Chet Elderson story.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chet did like that sign, right?
Mm-hmm. My favorite is when they do Boomhauer's story. Just the how Boomhauer visions the world, like everybody else speaks weird and he speaks normally.
Yeah, that is funny. I love Dale having a full head of hair in his story. Like Fabio hair. Because when he takes off his hat, it's like luxurious long hair. Think mm-hmm. Thor. I think that's great. Bill's always eating pizza. Bill's is the saddest story, though.
Yeah, because he doesn't even, as far as I remember, like in his story, nobody else changed. It was just him. And then all of a sudden, he sees himself.
And he starts the fire.
Yeah, he sees himself as being much fatter and balder than he actually is.
Yeah, and like he started the fire in his story. Everyone else, it's someone else who started the fire in their story. But Bill is just like, I left the stove on.
Well, he shows it in the story, but he doesn't talk about it because he's like, and then I turned the pizza stove off. Yeah.
Oh, I thought okay, but I don't know. I love this. I like that whole ending part. That it's just kind of. This montage of different points of view. It's fun. It's a fun episode.
Yeah, I do like it. I also like how, I guess this is one of the ones where we actually see how they can drive each other crazy, which I think is also kind of reflective on relationships of all kinds, not just romantic or family, but also your friends. Like, you know, if you spend enough time with somebody, they're going to drive you crazy. I don't know if this is the most healthy way, but I know I've said it before, and maybe if there's therapists out there who will disagree with me. But I always say, like, the true test of a friendship is if you can survive a fight. Like, not like a physical fist fight or whatever, but if you can just get into, like, a really bad disagreement, and you both, you know, you can both come out of it and be like, you know, and it was, yeah, you know, I was a jerk. I was like, let's make bygones be bygones. I think that's, like, a real test of friendship.
Yeah, but before we wrap up everything, I don't know if you remember this, but this has an end credit scene, this episode.
Oh, snap. I do not realize that.
So after it finishes with the guys, during the credits, it shows Peggy working out and running and like working out and trying to like increase her strength. And at the very end, she fire person lifts Bobby without injuring her toe.
That's right. Well, at least she got that. At least she got her redemption arc at the end.
Yeah, it's a. I don't know. I really like that for Peggy though. Like, she couldn't do it, and then she did it. Like, Peggy's the big winner in all this, right? In this episode.
True. Very true. She did come out on top. And presumably her groin's healed, so that's something too.
I was going to say, her groin was never injured, remember? You know, I'm winking. It's an audio podcast, but I'm winking right now.
Yeah. Wink, wink, nod, nod, yeah. Next week, we're going to do My Hair Lady, which is a rare Bill and Luann heavy episode. So join us for that. I think it's funny. Though there definitely are arguably some problematic parts about it. But, you know, look, just join us and you'll get to see all of it. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.